to worry about. But what if the only real time is the present moment? That would bring down the wall dividing personal time and objective time. Once that happens, everyday life could be transformed into eternal life, here and now. This startling possibility makes the mystery of time important to everyone. Each of us creates a unique relationship with time, and yet our source is timeless. If we can look past the illusion created by clocks, the race against time comes to an end, and the fear of death is erased once and for all. What is the universe made of? The universe has been putting on a striptease act for a long time. One by one, it has shed the veils that cover up the truth about nature. At first, the strip was boringly slow. The audience had to wait centuries before the first veil, which was the idea of a solid atom, came off. The atom is an ancient idea dating back to Democritus and his followers. Those philosophers in ancient Greece couldn't see an atom, neither can we, more than 2,000 years later, but they reasoned that if you slice up an object, any object, eventually you'd arrive at a tiny piece that couldn't be cut any smaller. The word atom comes from two Greek words that mean knot and cut. The striptease would have gone much faster if someone could have found a way to prove that atoms exist. But they couldn't. Therefore, if you asked what the universe is made of, the answers you got back were all theory and no action. But it was certain that some kind of smallest unit must exist. Peeling away the veils moved incredibly fast, starting in the 18th century, when experimenters actually began to experiment, and the behavior of chemical reactions gave the first clues that single, whole atoms were reacting with one another. Skip ahead to the 20th century, when evidence was found for electrons, radiation, the nucleus, subatomic particles, and so on. One by one, the building blocks of the atom were discovered. The universe could hide behind modesty no more. So the audience was shocked when the last veil was dropped, and behold, the dancer wasn't there. If you keep slicing a loaf of bread into smaller and smaller units, the atom vanishes into the quantum vacuum. Something turns into nothing, as we've already seen. But there's a subversive side to this striptease. Once the dancer vanishes, we are left with thinking about the universe rather than actually seeing it. Somehow we're back at square one with the ancient Greeks, relying on logic and speculation instead of provable facts. Right now, outside public view, there is a battle for the heart and soul of physics going on, to borrow a phrase from the prominent journal Nature. Two highly respected physicists, George Ellis and Joe Silk, wrote an article in 2014 that raises alarms over just this problem of pure thinking replacing data and facts. Can pure thinking be called science, which for 500 years has pursued the truth through measurements and experiments? Once you get down to nothingness, the zero point of the universe, the possibility of doing experiments comes to an end. How bothered should we be? Here's an analogy from everyday life. See yourself about to cross the street at a busy city intersection. In front of you is the walk, don't walk sign. Cars are pulling up to the intersection constantly, and some are turning right on red. Your object is to cross the street without getting hit by a car. To make this a real challenge, you must wear blinders, the kind that horses wear when they pull carriages in Central Park, so you can only look straight ahead. What is your strategy for not getting hit? Your line of vision is very narrow, and all you really have to work with are clues. This is much the same as a physicist trying to look into a black hole, or before the Big Bang, or inside the quantum vacuum. For you, the clues turn out to be quite useful. You can use your hearing to listen for cars. You can see when the walk sign is on, There are other pedestrians on the corner. You can observe them and step off the curb when they do. This gives you a pretty good idea of when it's safe to cross the street. But you don't actually know. The probability is high that you won't get hit by a car, and that's the most you can say. If you want to see the reality that lies inside a black hole, you can't. You can only figure out the probabilities based on various clues. The same holds true for almost every mystery we are covering in this audiobook. Science has gotten to the point where things are either too small, too big, too far away, or too inaccessible to the most powerful instruments in the world. If you take the tiniest subatomic particle that the largest accelerators, costing billions of dollars, can blast out of the quantum field, the very smallest particles, or whatever they turn out to be, are still 10 million billion times smaller than any accelerator can detect. Which brings us to a fork in the road. One sign says, this way to more thinking. Another sign says, dead end. Science hates dead ends. So physics keeps diving into deeper and deeper thinking. One camp keeps faith with the time-tested practice of doing experiments and campaigns to build ever bigger particle accelerators, even though, by some calculations, the energy needed for such a gigantic machine would equal all the electricity in all the power grids on Earth. Another camp abandons experiments and opts for pure thinking, the old Greek way, in the hopes that nature will one day offer new evidence that we can't see right now. Sherlock Holmes and Albert Einstein have one thing in common. They believed in logic. Einstein had total faith in the logic behind relativity. He once said, only half in jest, that if his theory had proved incorrect, then I would have felt sorry for the dear Lord. It's strange to think that if you hold a loaf of bread in your hand and ask, "What is this made of?" the ultimate answer is, "Nothing." But we have lots of good ideas about that. Such is the present situation when pursuing the mystery of what the universe is made of. There has to be a better way. Grasping the mystery. When a problem arises where the evidence is kept out of sight, it's known in science as a black box problem. For example, imagine that new cars roll off the assembly line with their hoods sealed shut. No one can see the car's engine. It's in a black box. But you can still tell a lot about how the car runs. One by one, facts can be amassed. When the car suddenly stops, for example, you will eventually discover that it needs gas. Because the dashboard lights up, you deduce that the engine involves electricity in some way. Black boxes are fun and frustrating at the same time, and scientists tend to love them. But until you can open the hood, you will never know how a car engine actually works. It's very disturbing, then, to realize that the universe itself is the ultimate black box. If a physicist sets out to understand what the universe is made of, everything seems to be on the table. The laws of nature are well understood, as are the properties of matter and energy. The standard model of quantum field theory can account for every fundamental force except gravity. Even though gravity is a stubborn holdout, tiny increments of progress continue to be made. At the moment, the two leading rivals are known as loop quantum gravity and superstring quantum gravity, both highly esoteric, and everyone keeps murmuring that slow and steady wins the race. Unless it's all reached a dead end. The infant universe was cooked up where no one can go, or even name the raw materials that were used. As Ruth Kastner, an accomplished philosopher of science, has commented, the material universe is like the Cheshire Cat in Alice in Wonderland. Its body has faded away, leaving only a faint grin hanging in the air. Physics studies the grin in an attempt to describe the cat. Is this a futile enterprise? The The Cheshire Cat metaphor originated with the work of far-seeing physicist John Archibald Wheeler to describe the collapse of matter into a black hole. Einstein had a witty way of putting it. Before my theory, people thought that if you removed all the matter from the universe, you would be left with empty space. My theory says that if you remove all the matter, space disappears too. When you consider that a black hole devours literally the entire structure of physical reality, it's easy to look upon even a huge cluster of whirling galaxies as nothing more than the cat's grin. Physics wants to find a single explanation of reality, but there's no getting past the fork in the road. One way leads to a universe where matter is substantial, reliable, and well understood. Quantum physics more or less abolished this as a viable route to reality, even though large numbers of working scientists still choose this path. They have their reasons, which we'll examine. The other way leads to a total rethinking of the universe, based on the fact that material existence is an illusion. The dilemma is like Robert Frost's famous poem that begins, "Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both." Most of the unsettled arguments in quantum theory turn on which road you decide to take. Pure thinking or new data? As in Frost's poem, the most frustrating aspect is that you'll never know what happens on the road not taken. Prying open the black box. Cosmologists accept that the visible universe constitutes only a fraction of the matter and energy unleashed by the Big Bang. The vast bulk of creation almost instantly disappeared. But this didn't remove dark matter and energy from the equation. For example, empty space isn't empty, but contains huge amounts of untapped energy at the quantum level. The exact amount of energy has been calculated, but it turns out, on the evidence of how fast the universe is expanding, the numbers are way, way off. As subatomic particles foam up from the vacuum, the forces involved require enormous amounts of energy. The density of energy in a cubic centimeter of empty space is expressed as a number called the cosmological constant. Unfortunately, this number turns out to be off by 120 orders of magnitude, 10 followed by 120 zeros. Empty space is far emptier than quantum theory would have it. Somehow, it is supposed all the forces that should be roiling inside the vacuum state cancel each other out. More than one physicist has called this perfect cancellation magical. At best, what's happening is due to dark energy and its effects on the galaxies. But dark energy is high on the list of things that so far, at least, can't be experimented on. If it turns out that the hidden side of creation is actually in control of the expanding universe, we confront possibilities that defy the accepted view of the laws of nature, the Standard Model. In a nutshell, when solid, reliable matter vanished, so did the concept of matter. This will turn out to be tremendously important if all the things we take for granted about physical objects, the heaviness of rock, the sweetness of sugar, the brightness of a diamond, are created in the human mind. This would imply that the whole universe is created in the human mind. But we're not there yet. To give an idea of the gap, no one really knows why the physical universe exists in the first place. During the Big Bang, energy was wildly active, producing a shake-up of space-time. The calculations of physics can't tell us why such violent agitation didn't doom matter to be torn apart. If primordial matter was shaken as much as the equations say it was, either the infant cosmos would have collapsed in on itself by the tremendous force of condensed gravity, as in a black hole, or the surviving universe would have been pure energy. Yet it's obvious that matter did come into existence. Therefore, the equations must be tinkered with until they fit how things are. This tinkering can look a lot like fudging the numbers. Reality is obviously more than physical, and trying to squeeze quantum stuff into a physical box isn't what reality is telling us to do. Yet a belief in physicality remains part of most scientists' DNA. They point to the success of the Standard Model and promise that all the remaining gaps will soon get filled in. "We're almost there," fuels optimism. Non-physical explanations for the universe would go back to the starting point, based on accepting that matter is a worn-out concept. Given a choice between "we're almost there" and "we haven't even started," most scientists pick the former without question. What we see. Before radically challenging the physicalist position, credit must be given to the knowledge it accumulated. It's an impressive achievement, all of it based on the maxim, "seeing is believing." There's certainly a lot to see. Within 14 billion light years or so, the actual universe may be much larger, there are probably 80 billion galaxies, which astronomers classify as large and small, spiral, elliptical, or irregular in shape, normal, showing no major activity in their centers, or active, exploding with vast amounts of energy and matter coming out of their centers. Within a typical galaxy like our own Milky Way, a large spiral type, there are as many as 200 to 400 billion stars. Most of these are called red dwarfs, are small, faint, and red in color, and last for tens of billions of years. The stars we see in the night sky are much brighter, and they have whitish or bluish colors. These bright stars can be seen from much farther away, but what we see doesn't reflect their true distribution. A high percentage of stars other than red dwarfs are like our own sun, and many are now shown to be surrounded by planets. As we saw, if a percentage of these planets harbor the right conditions for life, then the camp that believes in randomness has an advantage over the anthropic camp, with its belief that life on Earth is special. To date, NASA's planet-hunting Kepler spacecraft has spotted one